Trinity Fremont, we know that faith starts in the home. We also know that it can be difficult to take what we hear on Sunday and live it out in our homes the rest of the week. That's because information alone doesn't lead to growth and change. But information that's reflected on and put into practice is much more likely to lead to growth and change. Join us as we reflect on this past Sunday sermon and give practical starting points to help you live it out, your faith, in your family, and in your community.
Woo!
Did you just do that so that when you compress the... There's not that silence there?
Yeah, I don't want it to cut off. I want it to be a full song.
There you go.
With rest and all.
Woo.
Except that the...
The rest has been filled.
The rest has been filled. Except that the computer doesn't know that. It's like, oh, this is supposed to be there. I'm just going to take it out.
There you go.
Welcome, everyone.
Hey, howdy. Howdy, y'all.
Hi, y'all.
Happy almost birthday, Stacy.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, yeah.
She's a happy...
Today.
So wait, what are you trying, like 22?
Wallowheen.
23?
Yeah, close.
Close. No, she's going to be older than me again.
Apparently, my son has basically been telling everybody in school how old Lori is.
Oh, I've not heard that.
Oh,
so there
oh,
we
yeah.
go.
Oh, no. He just walks around. Hey, guess what, everybody? My mom is.
And he just kind of blurts it out. And then he basically says, you know, she's even older than my dad. Which is
Horrible.
Which is
kids
not,
think it's awesome.
But Lori, he has not told me that. So there go.
Yeah, he's super proud of it. He's like, my mom's awesome because
she's older than my dad.
Yeah.
Which is only about 6 months. I mean, I'm going to be the same age come Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to send gifts on Thanksgiving Day.
turkey, mashed potatoes,
cranberries,
gravy.
We get to this point a lot where we talk about Thanksgiving way ahead of time.
Because
and once we get like past Halloween, we're just going to skip the Thanksgiving conversation, right, just Christmas. Move right to Christmas.
Well, what, no, we have to have the Thanksgiving conversation because I want to know everybody's take on what is the appropriate stuffing to have at Thanksgiving.
We could have that conversation later.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Let's think about Halloween.
It's like a battle.
Yeah.
Halloween
so the candy. Real question is, what's your favorite Halloween candy?
Lacey brought me Reese's pumpkins.
No, that's because you emailed.
You're the only one that emailed.
Yes. But isn't the peanut butter and chocolate ratio a lot better?
I don't mind the originals, but this,
See?
It's like creamier or something.
Yeah.
I found one good. I like even better than the pumpkins. They just came out with the Reese's Big Cup, which is like double the peanut butter.
My.
Like,
yum.
Yeah. It's
heart attack.
Pretty much.
But it's worth it.
No. Peanut butter is full of protein. It's a very healthy.
Not.
Very healthy.
Especially with the amount of butter they put into it.
Absolutely.
And what was it? I had seen you can actually buy like Reese's peanut butter, which tastes just like regular peanut butter. I'm like, no, you lied to me. This is not what is in the cups. Just stop.
Yeah. You got to put a lot of butter into regular peanut butter.
And peanuts aren't allowed on Whole30, so it technically can't be a.
Correct.
A healthy.
It's a legume. It's not a nut.
A healthy nut.
It can be healthy.
What is it called?
A legume.
Legume. L-E-G-U-M-E.
Don't you love it when we get out on technicalities? I can have this peanut butter because it's not based off of a nut.
Okay, so let's rein this back in.
Well, so I get what's your favorite? What's your favorite Halloween candy? I asked the question. You did not answer.
I answered.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I can't say it's my favorite Halloween candy, but my favorite candy of all time is Dots or Twizzlers.
Mm.
Like the Reese's Big Cup moved into a tie, but before that, my go-to was a Crunch Bar. Love that stuff.
My son likes Crunch Bar.
Mm. Good taste.
Those are sad. There's not a whole lot of excitement in Crunch Bar.
There's a crunch and there's chocolate. You do not need more.
Snickers, at least there's some peanuts and some caramel.
And more work.
No, that's true. You do have to chew.
Wow. I'm a Snickers guy, but it depends. Like I think I told this when Stacy and I got married, when we were getting going in around Target and doing this is what we want
the registry.
I put on Snickers and peanut M&Ms, and it was fantastic because half the people bought us a wedding gift and Snickers.
We had
and
like a whole
M&Ms.
Shelf in a closet that was candy,
which is now
it
gone.
Didn't last long.
It didn't last all that long.
Within the first 6 months.
It lasted maybe maybe
3 days,
7 months,
6 months.
It was gone quickly.
But then, man, so I wish I knew you before Tara and I got married. We could have used that tip.
Yeah, he likes to tell couples
of,
that now.
All of you out there, if you are getting ready to, if you're engaged, getting ready for marriage, put your favorite candy or put something fun on there, and just see what people
inexpensive.
Do. Oh yeah,
toothpaste.
Put toothbrushes on ours.
I really like Colgate.
They bought Crest.
I'm a Crest guy.
I would say I'm a big dark chocolate fan, which is not notorious for being given out during Halloween. So if I had to pick one, it would be Take Five. I like the pretzel. Mm.
Those are good.
Is that dark chocolate?
No, but I like dark chocolate. That's my favorite.
Do you hand out dark chocolate?
The super dark.
No, I don't give out dark chocolate.
No.
Do you like the 90% cacao or the 70% cacao or just like dark chocolate?
85 or so. You get above that, and it's like tasting. It's like eating cardboard.
Yeah.
And
you get above milk chocolate and it's like cardboard.
I don't have to share my chocolate with
them. I disagree. My wife really likes white chocolate. So if I get her white chocolate with macadamia nuts, that's like her thing.
Ooh.
And caramel. Do you say, guys say caramel or caramel?
Depends on how snobby I want to be.
I once went through McDonald's with my mom. My mom, gosh, I love her to death, but she has a very dry sense of humor. So we went through McDonald's one day and I said, I need one caramel sundae with nuts and one caramel sundae without nuts. Just to see.
One's fancy and one's not.
Just to see if they would repeat it back to us. Wow. As a caramel.
Did they?
No, they didn't. Look
at the screen. Is it right?
Exactly. But it was so funny. My mom and I, we had tears coming.
See, I'd be like, I'd like a caramel sundae, and they'd read it back. Okay, so caramel sundae. No. Caramel. No, I don't want a caramel sundae. I want caramel.
Imagine if caramel and caramel were literally two different things. What would we do?
I don't know.
Our head would explode.
No, we'd actually call them by their correct names.
That's probably
we'd be like,
true.
No, you can't say but caramel.
Wait a minute. You're basically saying caramel is the wrong one?
No.
I want to hear which one is correct on the email, which is what?
It's trinityfremontpodcast@gmail.com.
Yep. I think we need to spell it phonetically.
What do we need to do to it?
Phonetically. Oh, yeah, you know what I'm saying. Okay, anyways.
There you go.
Caramel. Let's rein this in.
I think someone's just going to email and say, I say it, and then they're going to
type it out.
Yeah.
The caramel or however, like, they're going to type out the word and be like, all right, thanks, appreciate it.
But do you need an audio file?
If you say caramel, do you spell it C-A-R-M-E-L?
Oh.
That's a mount.
Caramel.
That's a caramel. Mountain. Yeah. But spelled with an
caramel.
A.
Caramel. So then you should always say caramel.
Caramel.
That's like
I also talk about my sore knee.
I mean, you talk like that.
That's true.
Do you use knives?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Pterodactyl. See?
Why do you think they did that? Like when they were like writing words down, they're just like, let's put a K in front of it. Just screw with them.
I don't know. But it's so hard to try to get kids to spell that, like knife.
And honor. Yesterday, Lana goes, Alex, do you know how to spell honor?
Yeah.
O-N-H-E-R?
Yep.
Nope, it starts with an H.
Honor.
You really got her.
I saw their spelling list this week, and it's like all the O-U-O-W sounds. So like clown and cloud. Like English, we're just rude. I mean, it's just rude.
And then to put them on a spelling test together, so you have to remember which one is they.
Yeah.
The wrong one.
What was the one I had with Leah? And so I have this app on her iPad that I go through and I spell the word out, and then it has to record my voice so she can go and we'll say it. And I had a word that was, I can't remember now. So that's a good story, huh?
Did you say it wrong?
Well, the word is said the same way, but it has two different meanings. And depending on what meaning. So when I said it, she was getting frustrated because it was like, which one is this? And I'm like, and of course she would get it wrong. She would spell it the other way.
You have to use it in a
sentence. Like pear.
It wasn't pear, but it would have been the same thing. Yes. I always said pear. And she's like, which one is it? You know, that's what it was. And it was just like.
All right. Do y'all know what that's called?
Yeah, annoying.
When it
I'm appalled
sounds
this one.
The same, homonym? But spelled different. Homonym. Well done. Yes.
I'm like, I've known homonym. You long enough.
Also starts with an H, just in case we're wondering.
But you can hear that.
homonym.
We really should dial this back. I'm thinking we've casted way far out.
It's only been 10 minutes. We got another 10 minutes of crap. And then we get...
If you've stuck with us this long,
congratulations.
Now into the stuff.
It's all part of the script.
All right.
People.
Well, we
it's
haven't even good. Introduced ourselves or how God has messed. What's messed it all together? Who you are and how God is messing with you this week. Let's do that.
I am Lacey and God messes with me every single day.
How?
With an H.
How? By... I can't even explain it. I can say, though, maybe it's this way. In the past 3 months, I have learned so much more than I have in the past really long time by podcasting, by actually paying attention to the sermon, because now I feel that it is more important to me. And my children are actually behaving better in church. So that does make it easier. And by walking my son through confirmation, because it has opened up more conversations in my house about everything than it ever has. And yesterday I had a pretty crummy day, and on the way home I was just in a bitter, bad mood, and I just said, you know what, when we go home, I said, we are doing a devotion because I need a little bit of Jesus in my life right now because it is not going well. And Peyton's just like, all right, Mom, we can do that. And so that's how God's messing me.
There you go.
I feel like Anthony's like jumping up and down inside right now.
He should, because
these are the things he loves to hear.
This is like not that my whole goal is in life.
Not that, you know, a faith-based life has not been a priority in my life, or I shouldn't say not that it hasn't been something I've wanted in my life. It's not something I have gone about
purposefully
trying to achieve.
So what you're saying is Jesus has opened your eyes to see how that purposeful life of listening to a sermon, reflecting on it, and then putting it into practice, how that can not only benefit you but your entire family as you pass down your faith and live it out in your families and in your communities. Is
yes.
this what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Dear people listening to the podcast, that's my goal in life.
And it's
do those things
for the Steamer family. There we go.
There it is.
I can
and other families.
Yes.
And other absolutely.
Yeah. That's why we make this podcast.
Yep.
That's what I've been told.
And that's why I teach confirmation the way that we teach confirmation is to build up those habits. So that the Holy Spirit, and I have not used this phrase in confirmation, but it was one in my leadership learning community that we talked about, the Holy Spirit hothouse, where when we're doing some of these things, that's where the Holy Spirit can do his best work, because we've just set up this environment for him to be able to do the work. It's hard for him to do work when I'm sitting and watching Netflix, or when I'm playing the Harry Potter adventure bejeweled blitz or whatever it is on my phone.
That sounds like fun.
It is really fun.
What if you throw it back and pull out your old Game Boy games?
Oh yeah. Oh, Kirby's Pinball Land. Oh my goodness, I got that. I need to play that again.
I don't even know what that is, but I do like Asteroids and Frogger.
But the Holy Spirit can't work as, I mean, he can, but the environment's not set up for me to learn from the Holy Spirit when my focus is trying to beat the bosses on Kirby's Pinball Land. But when we're gathered as a family, listening to his word, reading his word, praying together, that's when I'm in tune to what the Holy Spirit's doing. And that's where I can grow more, because I'm in that environment, the Holy Spirit hothouse.
Thank
you. Paul,
tough act to follow there.
How's God messing with you?
Yeah. My name's Paul. I have kids and I have a wife. The end. God is messing with me.
Sorry. And we all know your wife is 6 months older than you now.
Yes, we do.
Thanks, Will.
Thanks, Will. I'm going through a lot of stuff at work that I feel like that individuals are pointing out flaws in other people, and yet they have flaws or I'm gonna say habits or
planks in their eyes.
Well, it is the pointing the finger and not looking at the three fingers back kind of thing. And so I've been doing a lot of, hey, you should probably not do that because of these reasons. And it's almost like I am calling out their faults at the same time as saying, you know, the things that you're seeing are also the struggles they're going through. So you don't need to be be pointing out your struggles. I mean, their struggles when you have your own. And so I've been doing a lot of that. And I don't know why it's become a big deal in the office. It's just, I'm going to each individual and sitting down and saying, hey, knock it off, basically, but in a nicer Christian way by saying,
dude, chill.
Well, I mean, it's kind of going, I kind of feel like I'm a therapist all of a sudden.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. So,
do you play music? Because that's really where
I do not.
You should. Why Maybe would, that would make
go
it.
Go in with your guitar and sit on their chair.
Yeah.
And
be like,
I think that would be weird.
You can noodle around, but you're music therapy. Like, that's what you're.
But that's like, they seek him out for that.
Oh, okay.
Maybe they are seeking you out by pointing out a fault in somebody else, because then they know that you'll turn around and give them advice.
With your guitar.
It's like, the advice is, it goes something like this. Grumble, grumble, grumble. And then I go, oh, great. I understand it, that they probably need to give you more respect, but you also need to give them more grace. So, and these things are going on. So grumble, grumble. And then you say, okay, listen, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's, and they do come to my office and I'm like, oh, what do you want to grumble? I need
You're
to
just
grumble.
So wise.
I think it's because it's kind of the job that I have,
yeah.
You know, as boss.
Right.
And so grumble, grumble. I'm kind of, anyways, I don't mean to grumble on the podcast.
They do need to give you more respect, but you need some, give them some grace.
Grace
there.
On the other side. No, I think it's going good. I mean, I feel like everything is coagulating together and it feels good, but I had to get past the grumbles.
There
and,
you go. Mm-hmm.
And don't, hey, don't, so you want to know how Jesus is messing with me?
Yep.
It's basically like, yeah, you know, all the stuff that I talk about, you need to like, listen.
There it is.
Wiser words have never been
wiser words. Hey, all this stuff that I said, why don't you listen to it?
Well, I mean, I will say, Jesus. How many times have you gone to a situation and people grumbling about whatever, and then you on the outside go, this is the reason why these things are happening. And then they go, bah, I'm not listening to you. I wonder how Jesus feels now. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly. He's like, hey, you know, I've kind of answered this question already, but since you are not listening, let me tell you again and again and again and again. Anyways, that's how God's messing with me. And I'm sorry. I just, as in the middle of that, just went, okay. So anyways, Casey, why don't you go next? I'm just past the ball. Here
you go.
Sweet. I'm Casey. I have one wife and zero kids, but five pets. Yes. Wait,
five pets? What?
Yes.
Five?
The birdies.
Birds, two dogs. Remember?
Three birds.
You had three birds?
Yes.
I knew you had birds, but I didn't know you had three.
We had two. Then one passed away. And then we rescued a pair from the Humane Society because you can adopt one by themselves.
When was that?
You can.
That was like 2 months ago.
Birds. Yes. I think I've tried to rescue birds, but I tried to grab like in the air.
Improper technique.
That's not how you do it. You need to get a big net.
He does the grabbing for you, so it's
great. Oh, there it is.
I was told that we had an owl in our woods today.
We have an owl at our home.
Doesn't sound like that needs to be rescued.
No, as well. I'm kind of like, hey, if you want to get rid of any of these mice, that'd be all right.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, continue. I'm sorry.
Yes, God is messing with me, as he always is. But for me this week, going back to the podcast last week, busy time for me in my insurance work. And it seems like in the moments and days where I've been the busiest, God has provided like that boost or that picked me up just when I needed it. And the coolest example was on Friday was a particularly long day for me. I had two different appointments that both went really well. One of them showed up late and they couldn't meet till the evening, so I didn't get back home till about 8:30, and I was just beat. I was mentally exhausted. And then at that time the Trinity auction was just finishing up the live broadcast, and so I missed almost all of it live. But I had seen that, you know, the Gerbers apparently were in a bidding war, and then to come to find
between
out
between us between each other
for the painting the painting package that my wife was putting out, and the fact that it made them happy. It's like, all right, God is good. He's working even when I'm exhausted. And really, I had nothing to do with it, but it was cool.
We won, in case you're wondering.
Yes. Well,
which one of you won?
I lost, but we won
Since
together.
He was talking, we couldn't really like communicate on what are you bidding on, and do I need to bid up?
It's for the children.
For the children. Yeah. No. Stacy told me that she had a max that she was going to go on that, and told me to bid, put her max on. And then I did, and I got outbid, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not bidding on anything else. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
I can go a little higher. And I did. And then I got outbid. I'm like, ah,
see, but then Stacy was higher. Thinking the same thing. She's like, this is the only thing I'm bidding on.
Yeah.
And it's for the children. For the children.
And literally my girls want to paint with us. So
it's for the girls.
And they're like, Mom, we have to get
They knew, right. That's kind of the nice thing. thing about the online part of the auction is the whole family could be involved in it and and say, Mom, you should get that for me, Mom. Yeah.
So we're going to have a painting party with
Stacy's
wife.
I will say that went really well, the online auction, but it made it really hard for the four of us that were in here to actually bid on things.
That was hard.
Because then I got to the end and I was like, oh, I totally forgot to bid on the cartwheel kids. I wanted the gymnastics packages. I totally just failed miserably on that.
Yeah, I was exhausted.
Yeah.
I will say that it was a lot more work than I thought it was going to be because
I agree.
I was standing here. I was like constantly going.
Yeah.
And I had no idea what you wanted.
Yeah.
I'm like,
neither did we, but we made it work.
We did it. Yep. Yeah. It was.
Looked go team.
It didn't look like you were scrambling.
Well, no, because I wasn't on camera. But at one point.
But they didn't look stressed.
I felt it.
I felt it too. My heart was going like this the whole time. And
I could hear
when I got done, I was texting a couple of my friends and they're like, Lacey, it seems so natural.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, really? Because I didn't feel that way. And then when I walked into the house during break, I chatted with your wife for a second and I'm like, Lori, I go, we're good enough friends like that you would tell me the truth if this just totally blows and I look very uncomfortable. And she's like, yes, we are. But she's like, no, you and Anthony are just bantering back and forth. It's like, it's fine. It looks completely natural. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, thank you, because it doesn't feel natural.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a lot of work. I mean, yeah, I was so exhausted. I went in, I talked to Lori for my half hour, 40 minutes. And then I went upstairs to bed and I slept 12 hours.
Yeah. You were fried because I was trying to chitty chat with you when I was walking out and there were like no words coming out of your mouth.
Which is unusual.
Yes.
Which
you would have thought after Paul sitting and not speaking for 2.5 hours that he would have been like, all right, let's go.
Let's go.
Well, as an extrovert, conversation energizes me. As an introvert, people who don't like talk, it sucks their energy out. So I had the opposite. I didn't talk or anything. I didn't interact. So I was getting sucked out of energy.
Okay.
I need the opposite of that.
Okay.
I need this. But if you have me sit over here without doing anything, then it's like.
I was waiting for you to take the microphone.
I did step in a couple times. Actually, at one point, you guys were like, yeah, so let's bid. And I'm like jumping up and down going, come on, get excited.
And I'm like, Paul's jumping.
Yeah. Let's turn this camera around, shall we?
No, it's just like, come on, talk more. And you're like, anyways, this is exhausted.
You could paint with Mrs. Roberts. Bet no one wants to do that. Bids.
I will. Yeah, it was definitely something that was an experience, and I definitely hope we never do that again.
Absolutely.
So
let's just not have a pandemic.
Let's plan on it to not have another pandemic in our lifetime.
Right, let's do that.
Okay, done.
It has been spoken.
All right, Stacy, wife of mine, how's God messing with you?
I'm Stacy.
Yes, you are.
I feel like there's been a lot of messing lately, and I don't know how deep I want to go into it. But I think probably as I was thinking yesterday, I feel like this is probably the best. I am having struggles with this microphone. I'll try not to hit it. I'll put my arms down.
You don't hate it. It sounds good.
I don't. I said I'm struggling.
Just stick it. It's just new.
I just keep hitting it. Yep, my arms
are
here.
I get nervous. Don't hit it.
All right, Stacy.
All right. So I am doing a Bible study through Genesis this year. And so we've been in, so far, Genesis 1 through 6, 7. Yeah. Just got to the flood. So it's just been a lot of heavy sin dwelling. Look at how our sin destroyed God's creation. And literally, God sent the flood to destroy life, all living creatures on the earth and all life on the earth because of our sin. So I feel like these last few weeks as I've been studying this and discussing it, it's just been that weight of sin, which is not a place I like to dwell because it's not a happy place to be. But it's also made me more aware of sin areas in my own life that need addressing. And that's a hard spot to be, where you see it and you know it's going to take some work to move you out of that, when your sin has become a habit. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad habit or bad, like, oh, I'm stealing or I'm cheating or whatever. But just for me, it's been my attitude, and especially with my children, not sitting and enjoying them and pouring into them, but just more existing by them. So this week, finally, we got to God opened the doors and let out the people and the animals, Noah and his family that were on the ark and the animals. And he said, you know, I will never flood the earth again. Satan, even though you humans, that every inclination of your heart is sinful all the time, you are evil, I will never do this to you again. And that was kind of the foreshadowing of, you need a rescuer, you're evil, you're sinful people, but I'm not going to destroy you. I'm going to send somebody who's going to redeem you and make you holy. And so it's finally like, I've been wrestling with my sin, and it's that reminder of Jesus and his grace and opening my eyes again to, I'm sinful, but Jesus has rescued and redeemed me. And so just that grace and the hope this week is really life-giving. And our Sunday morning went smoother. The kids were calmer. We had Sunday we had the huge meltdown with one of our daughters that was screaming. I think she accidentally hit somebody, and then like she was just really down on herself about, why did I do that? And like spiraled quickly. But
no, that was yesterday, wasn't it?
Or was it Sunday or Monday? You were home, so I think it was Sunday.
Yesterday was Monday, but
oh, you're right. No, I think it was Sunday.
Okay.
But I was able to like hold her and reassure her through that, instead of like, sometimes when they go, I go, and it just gets ugly. But to see the restoration and this, yeah, the process of working through that together and then connecting later was good. So giving me glimpses of grace and hope and peace has been very necessary this week.
There you go. And you know, you talked about that restoration from Jesus, the hope that we have in Jesus. And that's really been our focus now that we've moved out of Malachi into the New Testament, into the book of John. Pastor Hoyer's really been helping us to just really focus on Jesus, who he is, what he has done for us, and how he has changed our lives. And this week we got to see the story of a man that was blind from birth that Jesus heals, and he uses natural elements. He uses dirt and spit to make mud, and he covers the man's eyes, and he has the man go and wash, and he's healed. And there were a couple different ways that Dan went with that. But one of the things that I kept thinking the whole time through that is when has Jesus done that for me? And so that's the question I kind of want us to spend some time thinking about is when has Jesus opened your eyes? And maybe it's that I can remember that time when all of a sudden it all made sense, even though it doesn't all make sense, but I can remember that time where faith all of a sudden became real. Or I can just remember that time where I was heading one way in life and Jesus turned me around. For some of us, a lot of these things are gradual, but there are some things in our lives that we can just point back to. We can remember where we were. We can remember what we were doing, those sorts of things. And so when do you remember a time in your life that Jesus opened your eyes to something different?
I'll jump in because everybody's sitting here and it's quiet. I can just say it has to deal with Hudson. Jeff and I had fertility issues. So it took a long time to have babies in my house. And we had Peyton, and it's fantastic. You know, I was like, let's do this again. Jeff and I went through some fertility treatments and I miscarried, and it crushed my soul to the very being. Like I wouldn't wish that upon anybody. And I just remember, you know what? It just wasn't meant to be. We're just meant with this one little blessing, and we'll just be with the three of us. Not a problem. And then there was one day I'm sitting with Peyton in the bathroom, surprisingly, because I'm trying to potty train him. And I'm like, oh, I just don't feel good. I'm like, I don't feel good. Keep in mind, there is like a less than 5% chance that I can have a baby by, you know, without intervention. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, and I'm like, nah, can't be, not at all. And I'm like, well, I do have one random pregnancy test left. I'm like, let's give this a shout. And so I went and I did it, and I look at it and I'm like, oh, and it physically said pregnant on it. And I was like, this is not possible. And I remember calling my best friend, not my husband, my best friend. And I'm like, hey, I'm like, I need your help. And she's like, okay. I said, well, I don't feel good. I took a pregnancy test and it says pregnant. I said, how long does it take before the word not shows up in front of it? And she's like, I think it would be the reverse. And I'm like, what do I do? And she's like, call your doctor. So I did. I called my doctor, and he was just like, Lacey, I want you to come in and do some blood work. And he came, and I did that for a couple of times, and he monitored me. And then at about 16 weeks, we told the whole family that we were pregnant, and Hudson has rocked my world like no tomorrow. I did not know that I even needed him in my life, nor did I trust in the fact that this was going to happen, you know, and he is to me and to Jeff and to Peyton a blessing from God, because he wouldn't be here any other way is how I look at it. So there you go. Good luck following that one.
Making me tear up.
Well, it's, and I'm just going to say, it's something that a lot of people don't talk about. Mm-hmm. And there is a mutual friend that you and I have, and she has gone through more horrific things than I would want any mother to go through. Mm-hmm. But her underlying faith is unreal. I look at her in awe, and yeah.
And how God can use those grief moments in such big ways to show himself.
Yeah.
Well, and you never know what God is doing in a given moment. Mm-hmm. I think at times we as human beings, we love to think that we know it all. And it's those moments that God kind of goes, ha, you have no clue.
You have no clue.
And if you were to, at least what I feel in my life is when one of those heavy moments comes, it feels like it's the end of the story. Like, I was like, man, this is where it cuts off. You know, this isn't, you know, we write it off, but you don't know what God is building towards. And, you know, going back to the story, like in history, no person who had been born blind had ever been healed of it. And so, like, you could have hope, but there's no real, there's nothing to quantify that, hey, I might see someday. And I can't imagine being that young man in the story where it's just like, okay, you know, this guy could heal me. You know,
right.
Like, mm-hmm. Like, yeah. And what makes me think that I'm the blind guy that this guy would heal? Yeah. And I can't imagine waking up every day without that, like with hope, the only thing you have, but
there's no hope. Like, yeah. I mean, you know, Lacey, you talked about 5% chance, which is low.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This dude had a 0% chance of ever seeing again until Jesus came and made it not a 0% chance. For him, there was no hope, you know. And Lacey was, we were texting last night in the group, and you know, sometimes you try and say something via text and it doesn't really come through. And that's kind of how it was going last night.
It was.
But like, she's like, you know, was he just, why would he let someone do this? And I was like, I mean, there, he had no hope. I mean, and you know, Paul, we were talking this morning, Paul's like, Jesus doesn't even ask if he can do it. He just does it and starts smearing mud on his face and says, go wash. Jesus doesn't really give him an option. He just heals him.
Yeah.
He just opens his eyes. Right. And that's like, and Pastor Hoyer talked a little bit about why he loves being Lutheran, or at least in a Christian tradition that baptizes infants, because that's the same thing. That child doesn't have a say in it, doesn't have a choice in it. God just does it. And as we're talking about some of these, you know, tougher issues, those kind of low spots in our lives, I don't, you know, personally, I don't think you should ever listen to any other podcast than this one. Just kidding.
Then why do you promote the one at Confirmation?
I promote lots of different. Podcasts. I love podcasts. The Dr. Lee Warren podcast. He connects science and faith. And one of the, my father-in-law sent this to me. And the first one that I listened to is, he's titled The Last Worst Thing, A Story About Quantum Physics and Hope. Because those go so well together.
I'm feeling it now.
Yeah. But he taught, and he does a much better job explaining this than I will, but he talks about how, like, in quantum physics, one of the laws is that you cannot know the speed and the position of an atom. You can't know both. You can know one or the other, because once you have to stop it to see its position, but once you stop it, you can no longer tell its speed, and if you see its speed, you can't tell its position because it's constantly moving. And he relates that to the story. So his son was killed when he was 19, and as a family, they thought that's the worst thing that could possibly happen to them. But then now, as he looks back, because of that, he and his wife, they started writing, they started podcasting, they started blogging, and because of that, he said he knows of at least two lives, you know, people who were to the point of suicide that found his writing or his podcast, that it saved their lives. And so he didn't know what was going to become of that. He knew at that point, like, he knew the position at that point, but he didn't know the speed and the direction of where his life was going. But now as he looks back, he's able to see, okay, that even though we thought that was the worst thing that could have ever happened to us, well, God used that for good.
Well, and I can't speak for any other time in history, but it seems like our generation, our time we live in, we love to get the exact how and why and everything. But this section of text makes me think we might have more technology, but every human being is asking those questions. And it, you know, when the after Jesus heals this man, you know, the Pharisees have already have it out for Jesus, and you know, their idea is nothing good can come from this guy. And so they call in this formerly blind man, I think two, maybe three times, and they keep needling him. They're like, come on, how'd he do it? What's the trick? You know, where's the trap door? Come on, tell us. And
you finally, really weren't blind, were you?
And finally, maybe it was out of exasperation, maybe joy, maybe a little bit of both, but he goes, I don't know how he did it. All I know is I was blind and now I see. This is what I know.
Right.
And sometimes I think we, ruin might not be the bad word, but or the right word, but we ruin the miracles God has around us by trying to figure out, you know, well, how could this be? Mm-hmm. It's like, because God is good and he loves us. Sometimes it's just as simple as that.
We try and explain it when it can't be explained.
Mm-hmm. And when we can't explain it, it's a hoax. It's like, and mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, well, of course the History Channel isn't the History Channel anymore, but it seems like the History Channel for the longest time made a good portion of their selection on breaking down the miracles of Jesus and how they couldn't have happened.
Yeah. Or how science, I still remember watching I'm sure it was around Easter / you know, Passover time, how the 10 plagues happened, you know, how, and they explained it and said, well, this probably wasn't blood, it was iron, that because every once in a while this happens and the iron comes up and it turns red, and because of that, then there would have been, you know, the frogs would have come up out of the water because they couldn't live in the water, and then they would have died, and then it's like, great, but even if that is how it happened,
it still all happened
in the order that God said that it was going to happen, and they couldn't explain it then, so it wasn't like they knew it was coming. And so what a coincidence that it just happens every time, and all the when Moses says for it to stop, it all stops. Oh, and then
Moses
they
is
never
a genius.
They never got to the 10th plague, by the way, surprisingly.
Captured all those baby boys.
Yeah,
firstborn, maybe not babies,
right?
So as I was thinking of this, I didn't have one moment that I could think of. I mean, I kind of talked last week about after my grandma had died and which direction was I going to go. And I remember in church, God kind of redirected me, placing my feet on a path toward him. That was one big moment for me. But I was thinking just back through my life and moments where I felt confirmed in my faith the most, I think were times when I was with other people and observing their hearts turning towards God. I don't know if that makes sense, but if I'm at a concert and it's a Christian concert, we're hearing God's word, they're proclaiming the gospel, and people are in authentic worship at that moment, and I'm observing that, and I just see God's goodness in that. Being on mission trips, leading mission trips and going on them myself as a youth, and being able to observe when we are serving with the attitude of Christ, when we're putting other people in front of before ourselves and meeting whatever needs we can, and then coming back at night and studying God's word together, praying together, focusing our life and our energy on, we're going to be the hands and feet of Jesus in whatever way we can. To see that has been very confirming to me of God's goodness and his presence in my life. So some people would call those like the mountaintop experiences, maybe, but I've had lots of those in my life, and they're mountaintop experiences for a reason, because they're what you look back to and you draw on when you need those reminders.
Well, and I think the world also, Satan, however you want to look at it, tries to rob us of those, whether it's trying to explain it away with science, like not science is a good thing. So I don't want to sound anti-science, but like this couldn't have really happened. You've got these three things going on, like the plagues,
yeah.
Or it could be, you know, looking at the technicalities like the Pharisees did, you know, they like a man born being healed of blindness was one of like, there was like a set of major signs, like the Messiah is in your midst. When you see this, he's here. Mm-hmm. And one of the signs the prophecies told of was a person born blind will receive their sight. It's happening right in front of them and they're missing it on a technicality in their book.
Because it happened really during blind. The Sabbath. So it couldn't be the Messiah, because mm-hmm. the Messiah would never Work be kind to people on the Sabbath.
Yes. There's your technicality that they got out on. And I just think of those moments where each of us lives a different life. Mm-hmm. Like each of us, God interacts with us incredibly differently because he knows we're different people. So what speaks to you might not speak to your neighbor, but on some level, I just kind of want to go, who cares? That's mm-hmm. how God is working for you. Praise him for that. And if it's not working for you, but it's connecting with someone else, praise God for that. You know, there's so many ways to praise and enjoy what God has given us. So many ways that he opens us and our sight to who he is.
Think of our daughter, Alex. She likes to draw crosses and hearts, and she writes over and over, God is love. God is love. And she just has such a sweet heart turn towards Jesus. And that, like, that's not how Anthony expresses his love.
Are you sure?
That's but me. But to see that in a six-year-old girl and just that genuine, like, children can have faith too. And to see how that is expressed across the lifespan. Anthony expresses his love towards the Lord in different ways, but to see that too.
Can you explain how I expressed my love towards the Lord? I'm interested in that.
That was awkward.
It's not. It's not.
But in your
definitely,
service, I mean,
you're not covering.
No.
You're not covering all your papers with hearts and God is love and God is love. But you are.
I knew something was missing from your council report.
Next
Maybe
month.
You should try that next time. Alex will help you.
You should just give her all your reports.
Yeah.
And then you Alex can just go.
Color on them.
She does. Yeah, all of her school assignments on the back side, there's some kind of drawing. And,
I think that's fantastic.
Yep. Yeah.
I think my how God messes with me or how he's opened my eyes is, I guess I get the most brunt of that when I'm looking at other people and I realize that I'm not the center of the universe. Mm-hmm. You know, basically get rid of that ego part of my brain and going, but how is this situation or phrase or whatever's going on is affecting other people other than myself. Not sure if that even makes sense.
No, absolutely. Like sometimes when we think about how does God open my eyes and there's both sides to it. Sometimes it's I see Jesus and all his grace and all his love. And sometimes Jesus opens your eyes and says, hey, knock it off or whatever it is. Like we need both of those eye openings. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say that it's also, hey, knock it off. And then on the other side of that is the grace part.
Yeah.
And be able to see both sides of that coin, even though I don't think it's a coin. I think it's all one thing, and be able to say you're acting like a fool, but I also love you, you know. And I don't even know how to. I mean, usually it's when I am being slapped in the face, going, oh, such a jerk, you know. That's when the eye, because then you sit there and go, yeah, I can see why I would. I mean, I everybody knows I grew up in New England. I usually speak my mind. In Nebraska, it is completely different to
argue. Yeah.
I will passionately argue stuff.
Yep.
Is a good way of putting it. And it's not that I'm trying to be angry. It's just the way that I express what I feel and what I'm seeing happen. And sometimes I'm real passionate when I see that other people are being affected by decisions of other people. And then I'm like, hey, I should speak up about this. Not that it affects me, but it is affecting me, but it also is affecting all these other people. So I should actually say something. And I'm not exactly sure how Nebraskans do that politely. And I'm just going to say it. And I understand that it comes across as somebody who's just going blah.
If you start with the word ope, that helps.
Or if you watch the game, you know, lead off with that wasn't a real targeting call, you'll get a lot of people. Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that's my struggle is how to express myself in a Nebraskan way, but I don't know if at the same time, I'm not sure if I really care.
Because well, that's also not who you were created to be. And so like, you know, we had a conversation this morning that...
I wasn't going to bring it up.
Well, no. I'm saying like... If you had talked to me through it in the Nebraska way, it would have been much easier for me to dismiss than the New England way gave me what I needed to look back and go, oh, you know what? Next time that needs to happen differently.
Yeah. And I didn't mean to.
No, I jerk. No, and I didn't like, that's one of the, like what you're talking, I can initially take that as, oh, Paul's angry. Paul's being a poo face. But then
is what Gerber usually calls me every day.
Yeah.
Stop being a poo face.
Yes, that's it. But then also as I'm able to go and know, okay, that's one, that's who Paul, like that's how Paul has grown up. That's his culture. Context. What word did you use?
Context.
That's his context. Yeah. He's not angry at me. He is expressing himself. And so when I'm able to step out of that and go, okay, he expressed himself and in a way that, or expressed what I needed to hear. And so it was great. But it's very easy, but I know you. And it, you know, if that was was our first conversation.
Yeah. Poo face.
I would not. Yeah, I would have walked away very different. And that's, you know, but that's the same for all of us. We all have our own upbringing. We all have our own. And so it's finding that. I think for me, what I take from it, from this conversation, is less on how do I project myself or what I need to get across, and more of how do I receive what other people are speaking to me and not just write them off as
poo faces. Well, I think my biggest struggle is timing. When am I supposed to say what I'm feeling? Example with that would be, because a lot of times people come up and say, what is your thoughts on this? And I'm like, do you really want to know?
You just open the floodgate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then
they make the mistake of saying yes when you say, are you sure?
Yeah. Which is, I'm going to give you my honest opinion. I kind of grew up with the fact that you either speak in a truthful manner and say, this is what I see, regardless of your feelings. And I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm just saying, this is the truth that I am seeing. Well, not truth. Speak your truth thing. I'm just saying, this is what I see. The perspective that I am taking from whatever situation, whether or not it's right or wrong, I don't know, but you asked for my opinion and it is an opinion. I do respect that. It's not that I am speaking truth. It's like, this is my opinion. So therefore, your opinion could be different because you come from a different background or a different, you're seeing it from a different perspective. Fantastic. And sometimes there are times, Hoyer does this to me a lot. Like, I'll say my perspective and he's like, yeah. And then he'll say in Hoyer's way, and you're like, man, I'm a jerk. because he has a different perspective on things and the way he looks at it. And I'm trying to get to that humbleness part that, like, I feel like Hoyer's kind of getting, you know, he's there. He's just like, I see these things in this way because of whatever reason. And I respect him for that. And so it's like, there is a lot of times that I just will, even if it's like a 2-minute conversation, I'll be like, oh, look at the wisdom that he just gave me. I'm glad I took it. And it really made me look like a jerk, but I will hopefully internalize that and change the way that I approach things. That's why I like having these conversations, because a lot of times, but I also respect everyone, like, especially in this room, if somebody came up to me and say, hey, you're doing this, I would hope that I would sit there and go, oh, maybe I should take a reflection on myself and say, why are they seeing this? What am I doing? My wife's very good at that. She basically calls me out all the time and says, you're doing this because you're a jerk. And I'm like, oh, I guess I shouldn't do that. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think it's that reflection, right? We all have that opportunity to reflect on who we are, who God has made us to be, and how God is calling us to be formed to His will.
I guess what I really want to since I'm on a roll now. The reading that we did this week, mm-hmm. because Hoyer was basically saying, what's something that you saw different in this, because we always hear the blind, but I really saw the Pharisees for the first time, mm-hmm. and I'm kind of talking about that, the unwillingness to open up their eyes, what's going on, and the fact that they're not willing to even compromise on anything, and if you don't like, we don't like your answers, we're going to kick you out. That was like, wow, I don't even remember that part until we read it recently. And I'm like, especially in this day and age when you know, and there are many times that I will talk to Gerber and I'll be like, I don't see it the way you see it, because I respect your authority as a pastor and everything, but I don't think that you're the end all be all of everything.
I don't have every perspective.
Yeah. And you're not the know-it-all. Well, no. you are a know-it-all. No.
Hey,
I'm just kidding.
Let me tell you what that means in the Greek.
But there are perspective that I will take, because there are a lot of stuff that you know that I'm like, oh, I'm oblivious to this, which is just like anybody else in this room. Mm-hmm. I can look at and go, your experiences that you had and what you had are different than mine. I'm going to take that as this is your perspective. Man, I'm just talking around circles. The point is that the Pharisees never really did that. They just mm-hmm. said, we know because we're descendants of Moses. And it was all that. You know, I was just thinking, you're talking about Noah. You know, the one mm-hmm. thing that I was like really stood out to me about Noah is out of... you know, Abraham, and you have Moses, and you have Noah. You have, like, he's the only one who was just like, oh, okay.
the whole planet's going against God. I'll just do this.
Oh, okay.
Kill this giant
well, I'm just thinking of, Abraham is just like, we're going to destroy the city. And he's like arguing. He's like, well, isn't there like one person in there that's good? And if so, can we just save the city? And he's like, all right, if you can find one. And then Moses was constantly like,
one of my favorite, like, not favorite, but one of those little tidbit verses that get so overlooked in the Moses story is when Moses is on his way to Egypt after the burning bush. At one point, God, it, the Bible actually tells us God is incredibly angry with Moses and considers like zapping him.
But he promised not to do
that. Yeah, exactly. Like, I just like that the Bible records that God got frustrated with Moses before he even got to Egypt.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, and then Noah's just like, oh, you want me to do what? You got to do, oh, okay.
Right? Destroy the planet?
No problem.
I got you. I'll build a boat. You know,
and live in it with all these animals for however long you say.
But I'm just saying, it's like Noah didn't have that. Like the Pharisees are like, well, this is what, mm-hmm. you know, this is what we had. And even though this person who is clearly doing stuff that they were waiting to see the signs, they just like had these blinders on because mm-hmm. it didn't fit their narrative of what they wanted to,
mm-hmm. right.
what they thought that it was, should be. And I don't even know what they were thinking. I keep on going back to the fact that they had power and they didn't want to lose it. That's what I keep on going. But I don't know if that's accurate, but I'm looking at human nature, especially today. Government, I'm looking at you.
Just trying to find a way to bring that in, but not bring it in.
Well,
because it seems like it's the Pharisaical way. Like, we know what's best. This is our worldview and it's right. And we're not willing to look around and hear anybody else's side. And
if
adjust.
We don't agree with you, we're knocking you
and
out.
If, right. If we don't agree with you, well, too bad for you. You can't be part of this. And how much growth is there when you're able to say, this is different than what I've heard and what I've seen. Like the man that was born blind, he had no hope. It probably, I'm thinking too, when Jesus put that mud on his eyes, it said he anointed the mud and put it on his eyes and then told him to wash. So I don't even know if he knew that when he washed it off that he was going to be able to see. It was just God, Jesus did this. This man put this stuff on my eyes and yeah, I'm going to wash it off.
Like, yeah. Yes, please. Like, where's the nearest water?
I didn't even know what was available when I would choose to change my perspective and listen and obey. And I did what he asked me to do. And now my whole world has opened up and changed. If I had stuck in my ways and said, you put this on, I don't want it on, get it off.
Like, yeah. Because what happens if he did go to the nearest water and not the river that
right. Jesus I'm going to do it my way.
So, well, there's a well right here. Can I just go to this well?
Yeah.
Why do I have to walk down? Why do I have to walk down?
Yeah. That's a lot of work.
Let me go to Seinfeld. Anyway. Why do I have to walk down to the nearest river? I have a well right here.
And I go like, you talk about like, you know, the closed-mindedness of the Pharisees. Like it's the part that I think hurts the most in this story, because I think Jesus tried so many methods and helped, like they could physically see, but they were so blind to what the Messiah was doing in their midst. And so like you look out through all the four gospels, there are so many methods Jesus tries to reach them. And he reaches individual ones, like last week we talked about Nicodemus in John 3:16. One Pharisee got it, but a lot of them didn't. You know, he tried to reason with them. That didn't work. He tried an incredible miracle that, you know, healing a man born blind that was in the prophecies. This is a sign the Messiah's in your midst. Nah, it was a Sabbath. Don't care. And then there are so many times in scripture where, you know, we'll say he took the New England approach. He calls them straight out. Like, New England
And
that didn't work.
Well, you know, the thing about John is, the book of John, not John, but is how many times the Pharisees were like, we got to kill this guy.
Mm-hmm. Just get rid of him.
And then he'll just like, yeah, I'm just going to walk through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. But he's like, we got to kill this guy. We got to get rid of him. I mean,
team up with their enemies and King Herod to get rid of him.
Yeah, we got to get rid of this guy.
Well, that's what, Lacey, last week you were talking about growth mindset, right? And there's such a big difference between growth mindset. You said the words growth mindset in there.
Sure, I did.
Because I know when I listened to it again, I heard it.
I believe
a couple
you.
Times. You and Jeff were talking about growth mindset.
Oh yes.
But the Pharisees had such a fixed mindset, and this is the only way that it can be. And we see where it gets them. But like that's the a growth mindset, and not the point where you're like, well, maybe all roads lead to heaven. You know, it's not this that there are still God still gives us bounds into what we should believe, because He's given us what's truth. But that doesn't mean we're stuck in this fixed mindset, because, as we've seen during COVID times, things, we have to live differently in different times. We just do. And so that growth mindset comes into how does it fit into my life today? Right. And that's why we're doing this. We talked about it earlier. We're taking God's word, we're reflecting on it, and we're putting it into practice. And that's why with confirmation, I don't tell our families, this is what I think you guys should do this week. I don't even give them options. Like, I don't even give them, maybe something like this, because I know they're all going to be like, that sounds good. We can do that.
Be my husband.
Of course, that would be most people.
Oh, the past. Well, but that's what, like, we, you know, last year when we started to make this transition, everyone wanted, hey, pastor, tell me what to do. Right. Pastor, tell me what to do. Pastor, do this for. And so if I give those, well, here's an option. Oh, pastor said that's something that he must want us really want. And there are so many times where I'm like, where I want to tell people, I don't think that's a good action item. I want you to do this instead, but I'm not going to, because for them, as they hear God's word, as they've reflected on it, this is how God has spoken to them. And while I think I want them to do something differently, it's not about what I think. It's about what God, how God has spoken to them and said, this is how I want you to live differently this week. And so that's why, again, with the podcast, there are times where we give starting points. How are we going to try and do this differently in our homes? But that's not the right answer for your home. Are you playing with the microphone again, Stacey?
Again, I'm putting my hand back again.
They're just starting points, though. It's not, we're not telling you this is how you should live differently in your home, because you all are different people. You're living, you have different family setups. You have different aged kids. You have different gendered kids. You have all, we're all different. And so God uses each of these texts to speak to us differently, to call us to live differently. So I pray that you, as you hear this, as you hear these reflections, that you're able to think back about on those times where Jesus has opened your eyes, and then maybe look forward to how can I encourage that environment, right? Because, Stacey, you talked about the mountaintop experiences. Sometimes Jesus just happens to us, and he spits in the dirt and puts mud on our eyes and tells us to wash, and we do, and we can see. Sometimes it comes out of nowhere, but a lot of times those happen in those, what we talked about earlier, those holy hot house experiences, the Holy Spirit hot house experiences, where we're in this place of prayer, of Bible reading, of living out God's will, and that's when he's able to open up things even bigger. So that's my prayer for you guys this week, is that you would be able to, that God would open your eyes, especially in those times where you have kind of set the mood for God to work in your lives.
As I said, yesterday was a long day for me, and in my thinking and talking, I found a prayer that I really liked. So here it is. O God of peace, you have taught us that in your own returning, we shall be saved. In quietness and in confidence, you will be our strength and our salvation amongst a world of hurt, anguish, worry, and fear. By the mighty power of your spirit, lift us up as we pray to you for rest and reassurance in your loving arms. May we always know that you are our God and that your grace can overcome any fear or worry that we may have. In this we pray, amen.
Thanks for joining us this week. We pray that the Holy Spirit has used this time to focus you in on the one thing that you can practice this week as you live out your faith in your family and in your community. If you found this helpful, feel free to share it with a friend. If you would like to support the work that God is doing through Trinity Fremont, you can text a donation to 1-844-353-5782, or you can give online at www.trinityfremont.com/donate.